God's grace and his strength be yours today in our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Amen. Today, let's talk for a few moments about the road of the Christian, the highway that we journey through this life. What is that like as we follow Christ, our Lord? Do you think the Christian life, the road that we walk, would you describe it as a mountain or a valley? Is it hard, supposed to be, or is it supposed to be easy? Is it supposed to be a life and a road filled with joy, or one filled with pain? One filled with great strength, or one filled with great trouble? Let's talk about the road of the Christian, because God tells us about it in his word, that we might be prepared for whatever may come our way. Because he's obviously our leader. He's leading us somewhere, Jesus is, and he wants to he not only knows the way, but he also wants us to understand the way to some degree ahead of time, what we might face, that we might be ready for whatever comes. Well, let's understand today the road of the Christian, which each of us are walking as we go through this life, because there's a way for the Christian and there's a way for the world, and you're walking in the way of Christ. Well, first of all, if you think about it, a lot of people in the world think that the road of the Christian is supposed to be easy. It's just a breeze and full of joy. Where would they get such an idea? Well, you can look and find that to a certain degree in the Bible. I'll open up here in Jeremiah chapter 6. Here, God says there, "Thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look and ask for the ancient paths, where the good way is, and walk in it and find rest for your souls." So the Christian road there is called ancient, and it's good. It's a good way, and it brings rest to your soul. That's a beautiful word. If you jump over to Psalm 16, the last verse, or verse 11, "Thou dost show me the path of life. In thy presence there is fullness of joy. In thy right hand are pleasures forevermore." That sounds like a good path, doesn't it? Remember what Jesus says over there in Matthew chapter 11. He says, "Come to me, all you who weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." So the road of the Christian is a great road, full of joy and every good thing. But does that mean it's necessarily easy? Well, there's a lot of joy. There's the forgiveness of sins, there's salvation, Christ is with you, the Holy Spirit's with you, the angels guard you in all your ways, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You're going somewhere fantastically great, an inheritance. But is it necessarily easy? A lot of people think, based on these verses, it ought to be a breeze. It really should be no trouble at all to walk with Christ. In fact, I met a woman once years ago at a hospital, and I witnessed to her. She'd had a very abusive life, into drugs, violence was surrounded her. And I witnessed to her. I said, "You need to come to Jesus to be saved." She came to Jesus to be saved. She confessed him. We prayed. She received him as her Lord and Savior. I came back a couple days later. Did I meet joy? Did I meet happiness? She was on the phone. She was nervous. She was fidgety. She was angry. As soon as she saw me, she lit up. She's like, You said this was going to be easy. But since I came to Christ, it's been no better, but worse. And she yelled at me. She was hysterical. She's angry. A lot of people think that when you come to Christ, it should be easy. It should be a breeze. And she was finding it to be the opposite. It got harder for her. What do you think I told her? I said, "I didn't tell you it was going to be easy. I did say, though, that you would be saved and forgiven and God would help you through it." But boy, was she angry. You know, she was very near to falling from the trouble she faced. Just like that seed. Remember, Jesus says, some seed fell on the rock. They are those who, when they hear the word, they immediately receive it with joy, but these have no roots. they believe for a while, you know, a little while, and in time of temptation, they fall away. At the first sign of trouble, she was ready to fall because she wasn't prepared for it. Maybe I should have done a better job of preparing her. Is the Christian life, the road, hard or easy that God has prepared for you to walk with Him through this world, through this life? Let's open up and find the passage that relates to that one. Here it is. Here's my little sticker. Matthew chapter 7. Let's read it. Verse 11. Jesus says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." So the road of the Christian, what is it, hard or easy?
Tour de France.
It's hard. It's a hard road, a very narrow door Jesus has us strive for. Are you prepared for that? Troubles to come? Jesus says, in this world you have tribulation. You will have tribulation. What kinds of troubles do you meet with when you start following Christ and you walk on the road of the Christian? Well, in a word, you meet war. You do. You meet war. We're walking through war. What are we warring against? Well, on the one hand, Peter says, our sinful passions that are at work in our members, the sin that's inside of our bodies, are now at war with your soul. And you have to fight and conquer those desires in you that are leading you in the wrong path, and you need to go in the right path. So that's war. War. Did you wake up this morning knowing I'd come and preach to you war? I preached to you again. There's war with the devil. Previously, you were captives to him, and he didn't worry about, you know, warring against you because he owned you. But when you come to Christ, he's lost you, and you're now clothed with armor, going to destroy his kingdom. You have war with a very powerful angel and all his hosts, principalities and powers in heavenly places we war against. Hosts of wickedness, says Paul. Thirdly, we war against the world. Jesus says, if you were still of the world, they'd love you. But since you're not of the world, but I chose you out of it to walk with me on the road of life, now they hate you and they're at war with you, just like they were at war with me, your king. So we got a lot of trouble coming our way, if you want to put it that way, as Christians. And it's a hard life. Are you prepared for hardships and troubles? Do you start to lose a hope or faint with fear or lose your strength or doubt God when you face troubles? You know what God says to you today? Stop it! I'm not against you. I'm for you. Troubles are sure to come, Jesus says, so you ought to expect them. Does God want us to prepare for such things? Well, look over here at Luke 14. Jesus is talking about the Christian road, the Christian life, and he says, I'll do this the last part of it. What king, going to encounter another king in war, will not sit down first and take counsel whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? And if not, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends an embassy and asks terms for peace. So therefore, whoever of you does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. In other words, before you build a building, you want to count and see if you have enough materials to finish. If you want to go to war, you need to know if you have enough strength to go and meet the enemy. Jesus says, are you ready and prepared for the life that I have for you if you follow me? It is trouble. There's going to be hardships along the way. And do you want a picture of the Christian life? It is a joyful life, friends. Let me tell you. Walking with Christ, there's nothing better. And you avoid the entanglements of sin. It's a straight and a good path. But here's a picture of it. Let's go back to the Old Testament days. See, look at that. There's a siren outside. There's trouble, I tell you, in River City. God bless the people who are involved there, by the way. God saved Israel out of Egypt, which is a picture of our lives as Christians. It's a little fore picture of what we're going to experience. They were in bondage. They were under a terrible Pharaoh, just like we were in bondage to sin under the devil. God led them out with a mighty outstretched hand, with great strength, and he led them through the Red Sea. That's baptism. That's just like our baptism. We get saved, therefore, through the water. But then we read that immediately after that, they came out, and let me read in the first and second hesitations here. And they came out to happy rose-strewn roads, to a life of ease and plenty, where they just feasted and got fat on the land. Is that what it says? That's first and second hesitations, not in the Bible. Okay. We read here, actually, in God's Word, Exodus 15, verse 22. It says, after they came out of the Red Sea, the people of Israel, after they did that, it says, then Moses led Israel onward from the Red Sea, and they went into the wilderness of Shur. They went 3 days' journey in the wilderness and found no water. Does that sound like a wonderful, great travel they had? They just came out of victory, baptism, if you will, through the water, into freedom, no longer into bondage. God's with them, and where does he first lead them? Into the, quote, wilderness. That's a picture of the Christian life, isn't it? We're led into the wilderness. This world, before we get to our inheritance above, the promised land, is going to be a wilderness. And we just got to be ready and expect that. There's going to be troubles, hardships. It's a place where there's little water at times. Scorpions on the ground and puff adders, snakes. There are enemies that surround. God's with us, but it is a tough life. Are you prepared for trouble? And do you doubt that God loves you just because you meet with trouble? God says, again, stop it. I'm with you. But this is the way of the Christian. It's a tough world, and we're going to go through it together. If you think about that, that's found and warned for us all over scriptures. John 16, Jesus says, in the world you have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. You're going to have troubles in this life, but be of good cheer. I'm with you, and I give you the victory. But you're going to meet troubles. Over here in Peter's letter, he says, don't be surprised, beloved, at the fiery ordeal that comes upon you to prove you, as if something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in so far as you share Christ's sufferings, so that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. Has anybody got fire singeing their garments this morning? Raise your hand. Oh, you're too afraid, are you? Well, guess what? I bet you, if I were to look into your soul, you got some troubles today that you're facing, all of you in some way, or at least you have recently, or you will in the future if you're feeling good today. Count it all joy, my brethren, says James, when you meet various trials. Peter says, see to it that no one be moved by these afflictions. You yourselves know that this is to be our lot. For when we were with you, we told you beforehand that we were to suffer affliction, just as it has come to pass, and as you know. It's our lot to face tough times, and my job as pastor, and Christ's job through me, is to tell you what kind of a road it's going to be. It's a great road. It's a straight road. It's a joyful road. God delights in the welfare of his servants. And if he's blessing you abundantly today, give him thanks. But you're going to meet troubles. I'm going to meet troubles. We're all going to have hard times. Don't lose heart in those days, God says. Through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. Are you going to fall during the time of trouble? He who faints in the day of adversity, his strength is small, says Proverbs. But what do we need to do? Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, walk and not faint. That's where we're going. We're going with Christ, and he strengthens us on the way. Can you think of some troubles from the Old Testament, saints? Just to make you feel a little better that you have some company. Remember Jeremiah? We just read about him in the Old Testament. What happened there? What did Richard read? He was preaching the word of the Lord. Everything should be peachy keen for this guy because he was doing everything right. What did he get for it? Well, the princes of Jerusalem came and they cast him into the well of Malchiah, the king's son, which was in the court of the guard, letting him down by ropes. And there was no water in the well, but only mire, and Jeremiah sank in the mud. Nice road, that Christian road, huh? Sometimes it leads into a deep well where you sink in the mud. You ever feel like that? Well, it's part of the Christian road. It's leading somewhere good, but look, Jeremiah had to deal with it. You look at Moses, he wasn't too happy with his road to the promised land. He's in the wilderness, and as if that's not enough, he had a bunch of people that was like herding cats. You ever try to herd a cat? They don't listen to you. They go the opposite way. The people were being crazy troublesome to him. And at one point, he cried up to God in Numbers 11 saying, God, did I conceive all this people? Did I bring them forth that they should say to me, carry them in your bosom as a nurse carries the sucking child to a land which thou didst swear to their fathers? I'm not able to carry all this people alone. Their burden is too heavy for me. God, if you're going to deal thus with me, says Moses, kill me now at once, if I've found favor in your sight, that I may not see my wretchedness. He was like, stick a fork in me, I'm done. He was sick of the road. It was tough. Are you sick of the road? It can be tough. Don't give up, God says. It's just part of the path. You're leading. I'm leading you somewhere great. Job had the same problem. He says, you know, man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. If you don't have it today, you might have it tomorrow. Paul, he was beaten and he was stoned and he was hit with rods and he was shipwrecked. He said, we were so utterly unbearably crushed, says Paul, we despaired of life itself. Why, we felt we'd receive the sentence of death. You know, sometimes the Christian life, and I experience it myself, it's like one hit after another. It's like, come on, give me a little let up here. But we don't want to be unduly shaken by these things. Troubles are sure to come. God says, but I'm with you, and this is just what you're to expect. Don't let it disturb you if these things come. They need to come. It's part of the proving time. It's on the way to the promised land. So the Christian life's not easy. It is easy at times, but other times it's not. When we become a Christian, we have joy. We have freedom with God. We have salvation. But it's into the wilderness you are to go to be tested, to the land of sometimes a dry emptiness, of a scorching wind with little water, with enemies round about and trouble near at hand. You ready for that? All right. Well, what is the good news that God has for us in the middle of the wilderness? As we go through this life until we get through it to the place above. Well, number one, God says, don't let this surprise you. I'm not angry with you. It's just part of the Christian road. Remember what we read there in Deuteronomy 8, previously in another time. God says, I led you through the great and terrible wilderness, he told Israel, with its fiery serpents and scorpions and the thirsty ground where there was no water. I brought you water out of the rock. I fed you in the wilderness with manna which your fathers didn't know, that I might humble and test you to do you good in the end. So if you're facing troubles, God says, I'm just testing you. I'm trying you. I am refining you as silver is refined, that you come out looking like pure silver. That's what I'm after, to do you good in the end. Can you take that to heart when you're facing a trouble? That God means it good? You know, sometimes in trouble, we're like, I can't see any good in this, God. Get it off of me. But God says, just trust me. I know what I'm doing. So, secondly, is the Lord at times leads us into trouble, but he always leads us out of it again. Remember that if you're in a trouble. We hear this in the Bible. It says, call upon me in the day of trouble. Psalm 50, God says, I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. Sometimes he leads us into very difficult places, but he means to take us out of it again. I wish, you know, Woody Allen one time said, you know, I don't want to just walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I want to run through the valley of the shadow. You know, sometimes I want to be out of my trouble, but God says, no, you're going to be in your trouble, but I'm going to lead you through your trouble out the other side, just like Israel went through the Red Sea and they came out on the other side into freedom. You got to go through it and come out on the other side like silver. You know, my wife Beth is just amazing. You guys know her very well. And she is so cheerful. She's like a bluebird sitting on a branch singing. Amen? How does she do it? I think about her trouble in her life, if I may, for a moment. She grew up in a home where there were holes in the walls of her house, which were made by her body as she was thrown through walls. Okay? And they were not even patched. There were holes where she was thrown through with her body because there was violence in her home. There was a lot of trouble in her home. There was abuse of alcohol in her home. There were some prescription drugs that were being misused in her home. There was a lot of trouble. There was no Christian influence in those early days, no fear of the Lord. At 12 years old, she came to Christ at a camp that she went to and accepted Jesus as her Lord and Savior. Were her troubles over? No, she went back to a home that was full of trouble. It was a hard road. And many people hurt her, and she had pains in her body. And then when she was in her 20s, she was a flight attendant and got thrown against a bulkhead. And then her holes in her inner ears of her bone broke, we believe at that time, and her health tanked. She lost her friends. She lost her job. But then what happened? A bright, shining light on her horizon. A ship came in.
Come on.
Greg. Prince Charming arrives.
Yeah.
Right. Were her troubles over at that moment?
No.
You have borne witness. No. Even though we were together, we had troubles. We had more troubles. We've been through a lot of pain, and it seems like one hit after another. This to that. I've had mine. She's had hers. We've been together. We've helped each other through it. But, you know, just because we've come to Christ or good things God sent us doesn't mean we won't have more troubles. But you know what? Every time she's faced a pain and she deals with it, believe me, every day, joints and bones and things like that, she hurts. But she chirps like a bluebird on a branch in the middle of a rainstorm. You know what that is? That's God. That's the Christian life. That's Christ working inside of her. Miraculous things, and he's doing the same in you. The greater the windstorm and the rain pelts her and hits her on the branch, the louder she sings. You guys are like a ship on the sea in a storm. You know, the deeper the trough of the waves and the walls of water around you, the higher the crest when he raises you up and you see the horizon. He's bringing us out into good things until we can all say, with Paul, I can do all things in him who strengthens me. Paul learned that through trouble. He said he delivered us from so deadly a peril, and he will deliver us. On him we've set our hope that he will deliver us again. God brings us into trouble sometimes, but he always brings us out of it again. So take heart there. Thirdly, God is so near to you when you are in trouble. In fact, it seems more near than when you're just having your cakes and ale. Psalm 34 says, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted, and he saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all." You know, my dad's been going through some difficulties up there in Cape Cod, and he's now been twice into the hospital. We weren't sure if he was going to survive getting out of the hospital. Praise God, he is again. But when I think of my dad lately, and I've been thinking about the closest times I've been to him in my life, you know, it was not the times we just kicked back on the couch with a bag of potato chips and watched a movie. It was when we went to sea when I was a second grader on a little sunfish, 14 feet. We went way offshore in 20 some miles an hour. What on earth were we thinking? I don't know. plunging this boat under the waves. I remember the waves covering the boat. We were submerged like a submarine, way offshore, dark seas, dark New England waters. We turned to head home. We couldn't get the ship, the boat around, little boat. We finally made it back to Stage Harbor. Land! We arrived at land again. We went as father and son down under the jetty where the wind was still whipping over the top. We got a little rest from the wind. And we're like, hooray, we did it, father and son. Do you know what? That's what it's like with God and you. When you have troubles, it's the hardest times that you're the closest. Where at the end you can come out and say, hooray, we did it, father and son. That's what God's doing, bringing us through our troubles closer to him. And, you know, here's the paradox. The unbelievers have an easy way with a heavy burden of sin leading to destruction. The Christians have a hard way with a very light burden because he's with us and our sins are forgiven and he's leading us somewhere great called the promised lands. And Jesus himself walks the road with us. He doesn't leave us alone, and he's even gone before us. He was despised and rejected, says the scripture. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. His road was hard to the cross. Father, if willing, take this cup from me. But he went forward, even to the cross, subjecting himself to death, died for our sins, rose again, and he's at the right hand of God. And here's a good word for you in your troubles. Jesus was not forever on that cross. He had glory after it. Israel was not forever in the wilderness. They got to the promised land of their inheritance. Joseph was not forever in prison. He was exalted to the right hand of Pharaoh. And Paul was not forever beaten by rods, but he was lifted up to glory. And your wilderness experience, which we're all in together today, is not forever. We have good things in this world, but we're going through troubles to get to inheritance. A fantastic new world that God has prepared for us, and Jesus is leading us there. Therefore, conclusion, the Christian road, hard or easy? Yes, it's easy at times, and it's certainly a light burden. Joyful, but it's also hard. At times we're on the mountaintops with God, where he makes us ride on the heights of the earth like an eagle. And other times we're in that deep, dark valley where his rod and his staff of our good shepherd are before us, comforting us, strengthening us, saying, don't give up, keep following me, we're going somewhere great, and I'm leading you to a land, my people, remember this, where there will be no more troubles. You will have no more hardships. To a land of feasting and joy everlasting upon your heads. And therefore, God says for us today, I am the Lord who created you and who formed you. Fear not, I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you're mine. So when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And when you go through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, yeah, you got to go through it, but you will not be burned. And through the flame, it will not consume you. I won't let it happen. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. In Jesus' name.